flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Right. The caller is basically asking you, who from this year's team do you think has been a little unheralded that should get more credit than perhaps he has?
I mean, the easy answer that he's getting the credit. He's gotten the credit because he's an all-pro and pro bowler. But I think Zach Bond's, obviously, his season was freaking out of nowhere. I think a guy that probably doesn't get enough credit, it feels like he gets overshadowed a little bit in that backfield. I would go Reed Blankenship. I think Reed is a really solid player. He's played very well for the Eagles all year round. And obviously Quinion and Cooper and Slay, those guys have probably gotten a little bit more of the hype. But I think Reed has been very, very solid. Offensively.
Gainwell, right?
Huh?
Gainwell.
I would go Gainwell.
He's been solid.
Yeah, he's a great third down back. He does a lot of things for the Eagles. He can catch the ball. I always love blocking for him, man. He hits a hole 1,000 miles an hour. He's very aggressive in his running style. Kenny, to me, he's been there. I mean, we've always loved blocking for him. I know last year he kind of had a rough start to the season, but Kenny's a great back.
I'll give you one more because I know John's – well, man. He's another one.
Melton Williams, how on earth is he not a bigger name around the league?
Yeah.
He's really about to get paid. He's about to get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had to block him. You've had to try to contend with that.
It feels like he's gotten a lot better this year. I mean, he was always a good player. He always had the twitchiness. He's very quick. He's very strong. But it feels like he's utilizing his leverage better. He's utilizing his hands better. Whether it's power, beating people with quickness. It felt like in previous years, a lot of the plays he made were splash plays where he would jump the snap count or get a guy right now.
Uh-huh.
And now and I think that's good. It's always good to have a splash play, but the consistency wasn't there. I think what you're seeing this year out of Milton is a much more consistency of every down being reliable. And I think that's the key to getting paid and being a starter in my book is like, yeah, you can make those splash plays, but you can't get like caught in a compromising position or get caught out of your gap. I feel like Milton's come a long way this year as a player.
215-592-9494. I'll say it because John won't. Also the punter, Braden Mann. That guy is...
Damn straight, man.
Right?
Damn straight.
I guess I just don't pay attention.
We know you don't. You don't really...
John, it was really impressive what he was able to do in the snow like that.
Yeah, grabbing those snaps coming
really
back.
Really impressive.
Yeah, they were left...
Not
they were far outside, man. He Coy Detmered
that. You're the only one who thinks it wasn't impressive.
He brought that thing in, and he's a good punter. All right, so...
Coy Detmered.
Well, remember...
No, I do.
Coy saved the 06 playoff game.
That's a great call.
Coy saved the playoff game in 06. There was a bad snap... And he got that thing down for David Akers to kick the winning kick versus the Giants in 06. All right. Obviously, Washington's best player is the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. He may already be a top five player in pro football. Donovan McNabb was certainly, or I don't want to say top five player, but he might already be a top five quarterback. Donovan McNabb was certainly a top five quarterback for a good stretch of his tenure here in Philly. He was on WIP earlier this week with Spike, Ike, and Jack. A lot of praise for Jaden Daniels, but also strategy, he thinks, of how the Eagles can try to combat Jaden Daniels. Here's Donovan a couple days ago on WIP.
What is the game plan for somebody like him, like if there is one? How do they attack Jaden Daniels?
Mush rush. I think what you're going to start to see tackles and ends staying in their lane and not getting beat and contained outside. And what do you do? That means now it puts pressure on your secondary, and obviously with one of our best young corners going out with injury, we like to see what happens with him and will he be back healthy to be able to play. We definitely need that. But I think you have to go into the mush rush where everyone is now pushing and pulling and being in their lane. Anyone kind of get out of their lanes leaves a running lane for him. But with saying that, we got to understand that he's not just a runner. He's delivering the ball from the pocket.
Yes, sir.
And so we can talk so much as if he's scrambling quarterback as people want to utilize that and use and analyze that way. But he's a pocket passer first, and he is delivering strength. And so if we leave anybody with a glimpse of being a step open, he's delivering the ball.
All right, that's Donovan. Big praise, obviously, of Jaden Daniels, and it's well-deserved. You know, Jason, the mush rush thing, the Eagles famously used it in 04 against Michael Vick very effectively in an NFC Championship game. I'm guessing that you were an offensive lineman when Vick was the quarterback that had to deal with it at times when teams would try to do it to you. I mean, can you walk us inside the ins and outs of how it could work?
I'm trying to. There's different ways to do that. I don't know what the specific mechanism is with the mush rush, so it's hard to comment on that one specifically. Basically, you're trying to keep the guy in the pocket. You're not trying to let him out.
Yep.
So what a lot of teams will do is they'll push the front of the pocket and they'll collapse the edges and make him feel like he's kind of trapped in there. Very common against mobile quarterbacks or shorter quarterbacks. And then there's other ways where you can rush and you just are really responsible in your lanes and you still allow guys to rush full speed. I'm more a fan of that one, quite frankly. The one thing I don't like about the first one I said is that it ultimately, this guy's talented enough as a passer to sit back there. And if you give him all day,
no doubt,
he will find people.
And that's what Donovan's saying.
So
Donovan's saying the same point.
You can't not rush him. So you have to rush in a very disciplined, stay in your rush lanes and not give him opportunities to escape the pocket. And that's really a big reason the Eagles lost the last game against the Commanders. They had like a big 4th-and-11 scramble out the middle of it. Like, you have to be reliable and everything has to be pre-planned. So you got to be, you can't be more off the cuff. It's got to be organized, and that's a big thing for him. Don't let him. You can't let him out of the pocket, or you got to have somebody able to make a play if he tries to escape, but at the same time, you can't not rush and give him all day back.
Totally. Can Vic Fangio fool this kid? I it sounds crazy that we got a rookie that you can't throw all sorts of exotic looks at. You can stem right before the snap and change whatever you're doing. You can disguise your plans.
Yeah.
Is it as easy as that? I guess is my question. Because if we do all that stuff, then our defense has the possibility of making mistakes too, not getting quite to the right place when they're trying to stem late. You know, going from two safeties to one high safety or whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think that in general, the Eagles do a fantastic job of hiding coverages and disguising things. I think that Vic's very good at that. He's been very good at his whole career, whether it's a rookie quarterback or a veteran quarterback. I think it's something that Vic does well. And then outside of that, sometimes you don't got to fool him. You know what I mean? Like, you can just line up and play ball and not give him opportunities to make plays. And I think that at the end of the day, the Eagles are talented enough to play football that way this
Sunday. Just cover everything.
They have great players. Don't get me wrong. Terry McLaurin's fantastic. Zach Ertz can make plays, especially in big-time moments. The Eagles have very good players.
Yeah.
Don't let this kid get out of the pocket, extend plays, apply pressure with a dominant rush. Kissimmee is out, right? Their best guard is out of the game. So I just think that, you know, they're very good at disguising things, but I don't think that that's going to be the telltale of whether they win or lose this game. I think if they can rush the quarterback and not allow him to escape the pocket and stop the run, they're going to play very well defensively.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie on, look, it's a great Thursday. His Sunday will probably be great. Last Sunday was great. A lot of positivity in the air. Some concerns, but for the most part, a lot of confidence, as it should be. By the way, if you don't know, and we say it from time to time, maybe we should say it more, you can always hear our show on the app. So if you have to go into work in 5 minutes, which I know a lot of people driving right now to work have to go into work in 5 minutes, you know, if you miss parts of the show, go back later in the day and listen to it on the Odyssey app, or do what is perhaps the best move to do. Go into work, listen to it while you work, and tell your boss to, you know, go screw yourself. Does that work? Is that
sure, that should go well.
No. All right, well, maybe don't do that. My point is, listen to the Odyssey app. And
you
know,
should do that.
Well,
you should do that right now.
Rod Lakin, are you listening right now?
That'll go great.
We'll hold down the fort.
Yeah,
we
got your back.
Thank you. Listen, I'll gladly walk out. I mean, paid vacation?
I don't know, buddy.
I don't know about all that.
I don't know
but I don't think that's going to end too well for
I
you.
I believe that's a with cause type of thing. Yeah.
With cause. All right. All jokes aside, the Odyssey app, you can listen live and you can listen back. So if you miss any portions, I mean, think about the interviews we had this week on the show, from Sirianni to Jaws to Ray Diddy to Ross Tucker, Jason Right Now, Brandon Graham earlier this week. I mean, I'm forgetting a couple.
Mike Quick.
Bottom line is they're all there. Odyssey app. So check them all out. And that goes every week. You know, we'll get to baseball coverage and basketball coverage when we get deeper into those seasons as well. All right, 215-592-9494.
When do we do the Sixers coverage? 2028. Okay, thanks.
Jason, wait
coming
till,
right
Jason, wait till
when
you
they get a clue and a grip. And
I know. Wait till you interact with this guy. In a couple minutes, we're going to have this dude named Leighton come in. He doesn't look like Josh Harris. He sounds like Josh Harris.
I'm not going to lie. If you played 10 people that sounded like Josh Harris, I would have no idea what Josh Harris sounds like.
Well, the
I'm
listeners
sure
it's know.
Very impressive.
Yeah. the listeners know. By the way, I do want to play one piece of audio.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we'll get to it when the Josh Harris guy's in here, because there's something a Washington player said about Josh Harris, the Washington owner, which annoyed me because of Josh Harris, the Sixers owner.
A Washington football player
the
said
punter.
Something?
The guy's name
kind
is,
of a football player.
The
right?
guy's name is Tress Way. He's their punter.
Tress Way's been their punter point. For like 15 years or whatever, too.
I don't pay attention to punters.
But Tress Way's been there forever.
I've heard the name. Yeah. But if you would ask me earlier today before I heard audio, who's Tress Way, I would not have known.
Hold on. I got castigated for not paying attention to a punter like 5 minutes ago.
No, but that's the Eagles punter.
Yeah.
Yeah, different. There's 31 punters we don't care about, and then we care about the Eagles punter.
Well, I do care about Braden Mann slightly more than other punters.
Jason, do you have the disrespect for kickers and punters that John does? I mean, contempt for them.
I have already put my foot in my mouth and had to apologize to Pat McAfee.
That had to be painful.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. Here's the problem with the guys that actually, especially a fullback. Richie will go in there, run ISO, and knock his block off against Jeremiah Trotter in practice.
Yeah.
And then he'll look over on the other field, and these guys are like kicking a ball into a net.
Or no, not even they're on not the field, even there.
Or not even there.
They're playing golf.
Yes.
They're golfing.
So there is a lot of resentment, I think.
Yes.
Like, players.
Lot.
That's the reality. It gets built up, especially with guys on the line. But listen, I love Jake Elliott. Every kicker I've ever played with, I actually love.
Yep.
But there is a certain amount of resentment for the job that they have to do every single day.
Makes sense. But how close did you come to dropping an F-bomb right there?
Very close.
I had my hand hovering.
It was imminent.
It was right on the tip of my tongue.
You're getting good at self-edit. I like that. It's done, man.
That's fantastic. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, Ben, congrats to your guy Ichiro making the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I was pretty excited.
Because you guys are kind of buddies a little bit, right?
Well, yeah, we played 3 years together in Seattle.
Wow,
he's my locker
look
partner.
At that.
Yeah.
He's your locker partner?
He was, yeah.
He seems awesome.
He's a great guy.
Is there anybody that, like, it feels like that style of play is just, like, completely gone from
it? It is.
Luis Arraez, baby.
Transcended.
Say again, Ben?
Talk about someone who transcended a sport.
Oh, he did, man. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I dropped my jaw. He could go 0-for-4 in a game, and I'd be, like, a couple times.
Yeah.
Ichi, how do you do it? Big Ben. It's obvious. That's what he'd always say.
By the way, are the Dodgers going to sign everybody?
They just signed Babe Ruth's ghost.
That's a great line, dude.
Very nice.
All right, cool. Let's get some calls in here. Again, we're going to bring our Josh Harris impersonator, Leighton, in a couple minutes, have him interact with Jason. We know Jason gets fired up about the Sixers, which really it's the season going off the rails, Jason.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't know what to say.
It's worse than not good.
There's nothing to say.
It's a disaster. All right, let's go to Kelly right now.
Does Nick Nurse make it through the season? Does Nick Nurse
Sunday? Sunday. That's what I'm thinking. Sunday.
During the game?
During the game, yes.
And they bury
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a great call, actually.
No, yeah. Does Nick Nurse walk off the court? Has it come to that point?
No, she means during the Eagles game. They're going to announce it to get buried.
Yeah. Yeah. No, all right, Kelly in Westchester. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Happy Friday Eve, everyone.
Yes,
Happy
it is.
Friday Eve.
That's right.
I didn't know what to make of that.
First off, start off saying thank you to Jason so much for being an outstanding Eagle, an amazing spotlight on him at this point. You're making us proud, and we love you.
Thank you, Kelly. Love you guys, too.
So the greatest thing about being an Eagles fan is kind of going through the ebbs and flows of every season. Earlier on this year, I was actually at the training camp, and we were talking to John and Jamie or James, sorry, before, we really had a third wide receiver, and I asked the question to John, who do you think is going to be wide receiver three? We didn't even have Dotson at that point, so it was kind of cool that he's now on our roster going against his former team. Kind of love, that history there, that he was in their training camp at that point. He kind of knows what's going on in that locker room.
Yeah,
hopefully he can bring some intelligence to our team for.
Well, you know who's Kelly. You know who's down there. You might not know Brian Johnson, the offensive coordinator from last year, works for Washington.
But Vic Fangio wasn't here last year,
so
we have
make
a little
Jayden
bit of an
Daniels
edge.
Awesome. Johnson has helped.
Is he their QB coach?
Yeah, he's their quarterback.
That's
coach.
Impressive.
I mean, he's done it twice now with Jalen Hurts and Jayden Daniels.
That's impressive. All right, Kelly, give me an answer for the $150 gift card. What transcends entertainment?
My answer is O.J. Simpson and the Bronco. True crime forever.
She's not wrong. It's interesting, actually.
That's a real creative answer.
Changed everything.
All right, Kelly. Good answer right there. Speaking of answers, we got an answer from Ross Tucker yesterday. I want to get Jason's assessment of, Ross, and I want to be very clear here before we play this. Ross had an assessment yesterday that is pure speculation. Of what Jalen's injury could be. So, John, you said right away when we talked about potential MCL sprain, you said, Jalen didn't grab the part of his leg that would signify an MCL sprain. So we've all kind of been wondering, what is it? So,
what part did he grab?
He grabbed the outside.
Outside?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, so
I don't know if you've ever been crunched up like that, where it's not extension, it's flexion, and your knees just get jammed in like that.
I think that a lot of times when your knee goes in and it looks like it's an MCL, you can knock the bones on the outside and actually get like a bone bruise. So it could still be an MCL injury with like a bone bruise on.
Gotcha.
Either way, yeah. Go ahead.
Right, let me play this audio of Ross.
Whenever it was a weird bend, extreme flexion position with.
Yeah. Clearly. All right. So Ross. Again, for everyone listening, he's just speculating. He's not reporting. I know what it is. He's just saying maybe this is what it is. Here's Ross yesterday on a possibility, for me, two different possibilities with Hurts.
In full transparency, I've already talked to team orthopedics to get their opinion on, not the Eagles. Mm-hmm. The Eagles would never tell me anything. But I think it's either a knee contusion or maybe like a small meniscus tear. I initially thought maybe it was a sprained knee, like a PCL or MCL. I was told they don't think so based on the video and how the play happened. They think it's more like a knee contusion, which could be like you could pop your bursa sac, which leads to some swelling, or a meniscus tear. The biggest issue with that would be cutting, planting. When you have to put your foot in the ground and really drive it. I am definitely encouraged by the fact that they called at least three bootlegs after that, including the one on second down in the last series, which I thought was madness. But they've called at least three bootlegs after the injury is encouraging. And I also think he'll be able to run north and south. The question will be, what's his pain level if he has to really put it in the ground and try to make a sharp cut?
All right, that was Ross yesterday. So, Jason, if it is, and we don't know, a knee contusion or a small meniscus tear, what would be your sense of how that could impact his ability in the game?
I mean, best case scenario out of all the things that are listed are bursa sac or knee contusion, because there's nothing structurally wrong with the knee, right? It's just inflammation, and there'll be things, obviously there's medications and things you can do on game day that will make you minimally affected from that. So, I think that's best case scenario. If there is a meniscus issue, it always depends on the severity of it. I mean, I feel weird commenting on this because I, too, am not a medical expert.
Sure, sure.
I have dealt with my fair share of ligament sprains, knee contusions, which I've had bursa sacs. I had a bursa sac played on a Thursday and like couldn't get my knee to function because of the amount of swelling that was in it, and ended up getting good on game day on a short week. So bursa sac's not as concerned about that. I think the knee contusion, bone bruise, that can be pretty painful, but again, nothing structural. I think on game day, the adrenaline, everything, he'll push through that. If there is a meniscus or something more structural there, that's when it starts to become a concern.
All right, so we will see on Sunday what he's got. Obviously, we should have a sense early, first quarter, and I'm sure the degree to which he's moving will impact the way Washington defends him. Hopefully Jalen is at least close to a full go, with mobility. We'll see.
I think a lot of times when the meniscus...
I think he got lucky. I think we got lucky.
Well, given what it looked like, it could have been a lot worse.
I don't think whatever it is that severe. Typically, like if it is a meniscus thing, when it starts to get severe, you'll see guys' knee like almost be locked. I didn't see that out there at all. It wasn't buckling.
It wasn't buckling when he went back in.
So if it's not an MCL, which the way it went, it didn't look like it severely went inside. Mm-hmm. At most, it's probably a very minor strain. So I think he's going to be fine, but I'm also not a doctor.
Understood. Understood. All right, a couple more minutes here with Jason, of course, as we get ready for the Eagles in Washington, which means the city of Philadelphia against Seltzer Josh Harris.
Our enemy.
There we go.
Ben, I want to tell you, I said a couple weeks ago on the show, and nobody objected, I think he's become the worst owner, at least in our lifetime in Philadelphia sports, which means past Norman Brayman, which is saying something to let Reggie White and a million great players go. Ree, are you with me? He's the worst.
He gave Mike Quick an empty golf bag.
Brayman did. That's right.
And Josh Harris is $1,000.
He is.
I mean, he's such a shrewd businessman.
Of course he is.
He's a genius businessman.
My goodness. It's just...
I mean, as a steward of one of our teams...
You can't own a team in the division.
You can't. And he owns two of them.
Yeah, I know.
Owns two of them. And he's with us right now. Or a guy named Leighton is here who does an unbelievable impersonation of Mr. Josh Harris. Josh, I can't say good morning to you. Josh, I at least will say hello.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me. It's nice to be sitting between these hulking athletes like myself. You know, I wrestled at 132 pounds at University of Pennsylvania.
So. That's petite.
Yeah. It is tiny.
I mean,
your wallet is bigger than your frame. All right, so Josh, just know this. We don't like you. I mean, we already don't like you. But you are trying to defeat the Philadelphia Eagles and prevent a Super Bowl. Like, I take that personal.
This is very hard on me. It's been a very hard week. My ears have been ringing. You've been bashing me. I'm just an ordinary next-door billionaire. If you prick me, do I not bleed?
Yeah, you bleed red, though. That's the problem. You don't bleed green. Jason, this guy don't bleed green, man. What the hell?
Yeah, he bleeds what, crimson? I don't even know. What is it, maroon?
Red, maroon.
Burgundy.
Burgundy. Yeah, like Sonny Jurgensen. Yeah. That whole nonsense. All right, so I want to play a piece.
I want to know some stuff. Like, do you get close with these players on the commodes? Are you friendly with these guys that you own the team for? Because that does seem to fly in the face of our Sixers team that we're supposed to be supporting.
And that's what the punter's saying. The punter down there in Washington saying, you guys are all boys. What the hell, man?
I'm close with everybody in Philadelphia and Washington. Doing what's right by Philadelphia has always been my North Star. Doing what's right in Washington has been my Little Dipper.
Jason, that's great. Jason, I got to tell you, man, of everything we did with you over the last four or five months,
this is great.
Your rant. Wow. Your rant about the Sixers.
Oh, the arena, right?
I got some blowback from that.
I'm sure
it was great, though.
New Jersey, the Milky Way.
Jason, I'm guessing the Sixers didn't have you as a bell ringer the next game, right?
No, I mean, I think that they understood. And listen, it seems like it's all leveled out. They're going to stay in South Philly, it sounds like.
Yeah,
because of you, Jason.
All right, let's get some calls in here. A few final minutes with Jason. Josh Harris... guy in studio. God, Leighton, you're good, man. You're really good. And wait till you hear what the Washington punter said about you. We're gonna get to that shortly. Joe in Northeast Philadelphia. Joseph, good morning. All right, Joe, definitely not ready to go. We go to Carlos. Carlos, good morning.
Hey, Joe, John, how are you guys? Jason,
great,
man. Great to be on the phone with you guys. I was hoping to just make a quick point. I think with Jason in the studio, he could, I'm sure, offer some thoughts here. But I think about the influence that guys like Fletch, you know, BG, Slay are having on some of these younger defensive players and what that means for not only this year, but just the future.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the Eagles have been a great organization for a really, really long time. And, you know, I think that that's one of the things why you see – you know, Steelers and certain organizations have continued success is once you've built in a locker room and a veteran presence, you pass a lot of that stuff on. And I think that's something to the credit, as we're talking about owners here, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, they very much pointedly try to keep the guys around that they want to sustain that culture. And I was very fortunate to do that for a long time with Fletch and BG and Lane Johnson still there and Brent Celek and, you know, Connor Barwin's now back with the team. And there's been so many great players. And then even before me, like Todd Harriman's, like Jason Peters. So regardless, there's a great amount of knowledge that continually kind of like keeps going that doesn't happen when you have like a full implosion and trade everybody, where it's like, oh, there's no semblance of what happened before. And I'll give you a prime example. And I talked to Jalen Carter about this twice at the end of the game. He does this little thing where he goes very flat with his spike, and both the guard and center think he's running a game, and he sneaks back down. End up making two huge plays. One was a sack, and another one was a pressure on the last two plays of the game against the Rams. Fletcher Cox used to do that same thing, and he used to annoy the crap out of me. And like, it's when you know the center's coming his way, he would go really flat to get the guard to leave so that he could build a one-on-one with the center. And like, he's not the only guy to do that, but I know that him and Fletch, or he at least saw Fletch doing that early in his career.
That's great.
And then you see it happen twice. I don't know what the center and guard were doing still. Like,
is he better at it? Huh? Is he better at it than Fletcher Cox was?
Well, I've never seen two guys just completely vacate and not block Fletch off of it.
Yeah.
But I think, listen, Jalen is a tremendous player. I'm not going to get into the who's better or not. I think they're both guys that would kick my butt trying to block him a one-on-one. So they both earned the credit of being one of the better D tackles. I mean, Fletch in 2017 dominated the NFL.
Yep.
Yes, he did.
And Jalen this year has dominated the NFL. So I think both of them have had one season of just like complete dominance, and that's a big reason why both those years the defenses were so good.
And I think that Fletcher Cox, like, we don't give him enough credit for that season. And Joe has brought up that point that he was the best defensive player.
I thought he was the best player. I thought he was the best player on the team in 2017.
There's no question.
He does not get that credit.
I don't even know who would be arguable to be the best. I mean, maybe, you know, Jason Peters before he got hurt.
Well, Lane would be up there. You would be up there. Malcolm was outstanding. And Carson, until he got hurt, was outstanding. That would be my group.
This is the difference. Offensive linemen, though, even no matter how great they are, they're more facilitators of other people making plays. Fletcher Cox, like, transcended that defense and led them to, I mean, it's just a different impact on the game.
I agree with you. Yes. I'm with you.
I think he undoubtedly made the secondary play better by how much pressure he applied. The run defense was very solid. Fletcher Cox is one of the best D tackles that played in the decade that I played in the NFL. No question about it.
All right, Carlos, phenomenal call that led to a really interesting discussion there. Give me an answer for what transcended entertainment.
So before I do that, I just got to say the nerve of me to not include Jason Kelce on that list of guys that are transcending leadership to the team. Juergens is absolutely cooking this year. But my answer is Jesse Owens, 1936 Olympics.
That's the one I was thinking about earlier. Big time, no question. Jesse Owens, 36, potential winning answer. I hate when we have these scenarios where it's Jesse Owens versus Jackie Robinson. We've run into this before. I mean, what do you do?
Tough.
Jesse Owens, 36.
You vote for Jesse Owens because didn't you bring up the Jackie Robinson?
No. We had a caller bring it up.
Jackie was said by the caller, Scott, and Carlos just said Jesse Owens. Mm. And I think they're the two best answers. Yeah, I think the World is the third best answer. All right, Jason, give us two answers on the way out the door. Eagles, Washington. Who wins?
I think the Eagles win. Yeah. I think the Eagles are the better team. They still have to play this is not a team that you can afford to make mistakes and win against. These guys are very disciplined. They play complementary football. I just think at the end of the day, if the Eagles play up to their potential, they'll win this game.
Yeah, I agree. KC Buffalo, what are you feeling? What are you thinking?
That one's tougher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as much as I love Kansas City and my brother and a lot of the people over there in the Chiefs, which is probably pissing off a lot of people driving right now, I think Buffalo, there's something about, and Washington has a little bit of this too, where there's just this feeling in the air of like their season is just going so well. And whenever it feels like that, it's like, I don't know, man. Those are the stories that end up a lot of times solidifying themselves at the end of the day. Buffalo's been through a lot. You're starting to hear them with the underdog talk already with Josh Allen after this last win. That being said, Arrowhead's a really tough place to play. I think that Spags will have a much better plan to stop Joe Brady and some of the things that Buffalo likes to do. And Buffalo, as good as they've been and as great as Josh Allen is, they're another team that it's like you almost root for them because they don't have any playmakers. Like, it's a bunch of guys that just play really well together, and I respect the heck out of that. But to think that, like, that group offensively is going to be able to – I don't know, man. The Chiefs aren't loaded either.
I mean, basically, it's your brother on offense. It's like your brother and Patrick Mahomes versus that defense.
Well, Pacheco can run, man. I mean,
Pacheco can run. The offensive lines are good on both sides, especially now that they've solidified the tackle position in Kansas City.
But Travis is taking whatever he wants. I mean, he is the dominant.
Well,
he's back in a groove, man.
He's one of the great player players of all time.
He's unstoppable. I've been telling him to switch out of those cleats he's been wearing all year, and he finally did it the last 2 weeks, and he's dominating. So I'm taking full credit.
That's what did it.
So today we've learned that Jason Kelce fixed Travis's season.
That's right.
He got the stadium to stay in South Philly. I mean, thank you, Jason. Yeah. Thank you.
That's it all.
Jason, you know what? So ridiculous. I'll get you out on this one. You know what's so ridiculous? We do all this. We talked about the Eagles for an hour.
Yeah.
You know what the national story is going to be from this? The People magazines of the world are going to pick up on?
Travis's cleats?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. 100% yes.
Travis could not be more annoyed that I actually think that his cleats are making a difference.
Well, what's the problem with the cleats?
I just don't like the Jordan cleats. I've tried them out, and I think that they're soft and too squishy.
Mm.
So I was never a fan. I was also very, very, very particular about cleats. I wore a cleat that they stopped making like 12 years ago or 15 years ago. So the equipment team, shout out to Greg and Craig and all those guys, but the Eagles, they would source them from all over the place.
No way.
And then they would send them to a cobbler in South Philly. Dom the Cobbler, we called him.
This is insane.
You had your cleats cobbled.
They were so old that the bottom of them would start to peel off because the glue was rotting. So he would have to re-adhere them, stitch them together. But I think that the modern cleat is just a hodgepodge of like cheap materials and awful. I think they suck.
Wow.
So I would wear old cleats. I've been trying to get my brother to change out of his cleats all year.
That's a big deal, man.
So he went back to retro cleats also?
I think it's pretty much the exact same cleat. So what I'm telling myself is that it's a different color, and I do think the dyes even make a difference in the way cleats feel.
They do.
This might be...
Well, let me just say this.
When I played hockey,
yep.
This is the first time I ever noticed that dye makes a difference in the material and like its rigidity. I would tape my hockey stick in white tape, and then I would tape my hockey stick in black tape. And the black tape, when it got wet, would get like almost like a tarry substance to it. And the white tape wouldn't get that. So, whenever I wore white cleats versus black cleats, I always liked the black cleat more.
Me too.
And I don't know why. I don't know if it was psychological, but I think that there's actually something there, like actually tangible.
Well,
that you don't
the
even
dye, you're 100% Maybe. Correct. Because my black catcher mitts, they would break down like that.
Yeah.
And my tan catcher mitts, there's no dye involved, they would last forever.
Huh. Ooh, the foofy white, white coloring makes it a little crispier or something, so it doesn't break in as nicely as the black, the traditional black cleat, which I certainly prefer myself.
Final thing I'll just say, I think Josh Harris, we have a bigger story for People magazine than Jason talking about cleats. If I heard it right, Josh, 2 minutes ago, he just ripped Michael Jordan. I mean, he said he didn't like the Jordans. I mean, Josh, is that what, did we hear that right?
Well, what I've been fascinated with this conversation is I've been thinking of getting in the podcast game. I've got a couple episodes in the can. It's on expensive Italian men's footwear. So this is great. This is great.
God love you, man. Hey, Jason, enjoy both games on Sunday, man. We'll talk to you.